Have you ever thought about the fact that the providence of God is such that you may be sitting here this very morning because God wants you to be here, and because the things that are being said may be the very thing that would change your life. I believe that about preaching. I believe that whenever we stand and preach, that the words of Mordecai, as he said to Esther, who knows that perhaps for such a time as this, you're in this situation. And I stand here today as a preacher of the gospel, thinking it's very possible that there's somebody sitting in this audience right this very minute. And you're here because of what's happened in your life and circumstances that's been in your life that has caused you to think about your life in a way you've never thought about it before. Who knows, but perhaps this very sermon is being preached because of you and because of the fact that the message from God, and this is not Dan's sermon, it's the message of God. The message from God is intended to be that which touches your heart and changes your life and makes you make decision. I've been praying this week for some of you. I've been praying this week for some of you by name as I thought about this lesson and thought about the impact of this lesson. I want you to know that some of you I've been praying about by name. Others in a very generic way because I never know who's here or who will have that need. But I want to talk to you about the great invitation. That's today's lesson. We'll come back to that text from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 in just a minute. But I want us to talk about this great invitation and to come and to understand the background of this great invitation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. And when Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, He came for the express purpose of getting people to respond to God and to come to God and to change their lives. And you and I need to have an understanding of the fact that this is why He was on. But my, oh my, what a sick world He came into. That Gentile world, you read Romans chapter 1, and they were so sick that they had given up on God, and almost without a single exception, they'd all left and turned away from God. And so Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, you go into the end of that chapter, says, they gave up on God, and God was ready to give up on them. Think about that. A world that has so turned its back on God that they said, God, there's no place for You in our lives. And God said, that's it. You think about the flood of Noah's day, and you think about what's happening in America, where we are approaching in this day of our lives a condition very similar to that of Noah's day, where every thought and imagination of man's heart was on evil continually. You and I need to understand that the Lord doesn't want a single person to be lost. He has no desire for one person in this audience to go to hell. I don't care how you feel about yourself and how you think, well, I've been so bad that I just deserve to go to hell. That's not what Christ's coming was all. And you look at the Jewish world, in that first century world, the world in which Jesus came was a world that was sick, almost as sick as the Gentile. They had the truth. The religious leaders had the truth, but Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, the first three verses, said to His followers, you listen to what they're teaching, but don't you dare follow their lives. That's how sick Judaism was at that time. And it is that world into which Jesus Christ came and extended this great invitation. Look at that invitation. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can we analyze these verses? Look at what the Lord says whenever He says, this is an invitation that is universal in it is in its scope. Come unto Me, every person who needs to respond to the invitation. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It's universal. And if it's universal, it includes me. And if it's universal, it includes everyone listening to me. Are you listening right now? Includes every one of us that is listening to the invitation of Jesus. Come unto Me, all ye that labor That's the scope of it. The last page of your Bible, within the last five or verses of the Bible, the closing verses of the Bible, whosoever will, let him come. The invitation of Jesus is universal in its scope. It's universal in the responsibility that you have. It's not just a matter of just saying some prayer that some man has written. That's not what it's all about. That makes it convenient. For you, if you want to give your life to Jesus, say these words that are not even found in the Bible, but there's a responsibility that one has. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus invites us to come and to submit ourselves to Him and to learn of Him. You and I need to understand that unlike Judaism, where an individual was born as a Jew into a covenant relationship with God, because he was a Jew, he was a part of God's chosen people. That's not the way it is in Christianity. In the Old Testament, those children of their parents were children of God, and therefore, because their children were born to godly parents, or at least those who had a covenant relationship, God had grandchildren in the Old Testament. Listen, God doesn't have any grandchildren in Christianity. The invitation of Jesus, it means I've thought about my life, I have a sober responsibility in my life, and there is that yoke that I must take upon myself. We need to understand how universal that inviter is. The one who invites says, come unto me, my yoke. There's not an inviter that says, well, if you're of this ethnicity, you come in this way. Or if you're rich, you come this way. If you're popular, you come this way. If you're ugly, you come this way. That's not what it's all about. There is Jesus, the Son of God. When I quote Matthew 11:28, do you not in your imagination do as I do? I see Jesus with his arms outstretched saying, come unto me. It is, to get back to that grandparents illustration, it is whenever that child comes to Mimi's house or to Granny's house, there's Granny with her arms outstretched saying, come unto me. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Come unto me. He's inviting every single person to come to Him. And then there is this universality of the promise that He makes. He promises rest. I will give you rest for your soul. For the yoke that I have is easy and the burden is light. There's the invitation which is extended. How can anyone turn away their eyes and turn away their hearts from an invitation of a loving Savior who on the cross had His arms extended this way and now with nail prints in His hands, He says, come unto me all ye that labor and I'll give you rest. Is it possible that you're here this very day to hear emphasize this very invitation that Jesus says and gives to me, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Can we look at the implementation of it? We don't have time to fully discuss every one of these passages as it is implemented, as this invitation becomes a part of living on this earth. But Jesus, as right before He ascended into heaven, says, you go teach all nations. It's universal. It includes us. You go teach every person on this earth. You teach every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And then He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you take this invitation into the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's how universal this invitation is. And when it was implemented, the Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, that they did it. That every person in the first century heard that invitation of Jesus. Would to God that the Lord would continue to use us so that people would, through our efforts and through our serving of Him, He would be able to enable us to carry the gospel not just to West Palm Beach or to Palm Beach County, but to surrounding counties and surrounding states and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's a dream, and we ought to never lose sight of that dream because that's the way they implemented it in the first century. Can we explain what that invitation looks like? Let's look at the implication of that invitation. That invitation involves a coming to Jesus. It involves us being drawn by God. Look in the book of John. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, I'm the bread of heaven. Your fathers ate Old Testament bread, the manna. You got to eat of my bread, of my flesh, and that's not of the Lord's Supper. Eating of that bread is like drinking of that water that he offered that Samaritan woman, that if you'll drink of this heavenly water, you'll never thirst. And if you'll eat of my flesh, if you'll partake of me, if you'll get serious about Christianity and become a part of my eating my body and drinking my blood, he says, here's how it's going to happen. Look in verse 44, whenever he says, no one can come to the Father, can come unto me. No one can come unto me unless the Father who has sent me draw him. What does that invitation involve? It involves coming to Jesus. It involves him with his outstretched arms and nail-pierced hands saying, come, come, come to me. But it will not happen, Jesus said, unless God calls you, unless God draws you to him. Is it possible that in this very sermon, who knows, that perhaps right now, perhaps right this very minute, God is trying to draw you unto himself? It cannot happen unless the Father who has sent me draw him. And Jesus said, and I will raise him up in the last day. Make that personal. God drawing you and Jesus promising you that in the last day, I will raise you up. The question is, how does God draw us? The Old Testament has this quote, has this expression, they shall all be taught of God. And Jesus quotes that Old Testament verse in verse 45 whenever he says, here is how God is going to draw people to him. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. How is God going to teach me? How is God going to draw me? Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You understand that's what this lesson is designed to do? It's designed to help us to understand that God has sent his Son, and his Son with outstretched arms is saying, come unto me. I'll give you rest. And it is God himself, the Father, through teaching of the Word, which is happening right this very minute. Are you listening to his teaching? Right this very minute, the God of heaven is trying to teach you some things and to draw you unto his Son by the fact that you come unto the Father because of the teaching that you hear. Oh, how important that is. Maybe we can illustrate it by looking at in another way. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, but you really need to go back to verse 11. Verse 10 talks about, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. And then he talks about this matter of faith and where that comes from. But then he says in verse 13, or verse 12, and 11 and 12, he says, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. This invitation is universal. There is no difference because everybody is going to come to the same Savior in exactly the same way. And then he says, having said there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, because, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's that all about? It is me because I've heard the invitation of Jesus, because I have seen him in my mind's eye with outstretched arms saying, come unto me. I know that that's what I want to do. And he says, and you've got to call on the Lord Jesus. We'll talk about what that means a little bit later in this lesson, but you and I understand it, do we not? I cannot save myself. I made a mess of my life. You look where I am and what I've done. And there's nothing but the negativity that comes into the forefront as I think about my past life. So many individuals are on that very page. The only hope I have is not to call upon me about all the good that I've done. Well, I've done a lot of good on the other side. The Bible says it is not of works, lest any man should boast. the only hope that I have of my salvation is to call upon the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, and whoever does this, and that includes every one of us in this audience today, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he says, wait a minute. You cannot call on the Lord unless you believe in the Lord. You see, before you can ever call on the Lord, you've got to believe in the Lord Himself. You and I need to understand that this very separation of calling on the Lord and believing on the Lord is two different steps. There are individuals who teach a cheapened way of salvation that says, if you want to be saved, just say these words, Lord Jesus saves me. When Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of my Father. And so those individuals who say, if you want to be saved, just ask Jesus to save you, call on Jesus. Jesus says, not everybody who does that's going to be saved. And the reason for that is, you must first believe. There must be a conviction in your heart that God is, and that He rewards those that follow Him, that He has sent His Son and made it possible for that Son to extend that invitation to all men, every creature on this earth, universal in the extending of this invitation. And that includes every one of us. I want to ask you, do you believe on the Lord? But believing on the Lord and calling on the Lord, that's two different things. You call on the Lord, but before you can ever call on the Lord, you must believe. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And then He says, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Is there a difference in hearing about Jesus and believing in Jesus? Oh, that's two separate things. Just like calling is distinct from believing, belief is distinct from hearing. And so there is this process. One hears the gospel. One hears the words of Jesus. One hears the word of God proclaimed. And they believe the word. And then they call on the Lord. But He then says, but you cannot hear unless there is that messenger that comes and proclaims to you God's will. Here's the prime messenger. You can take this book and let this be the messenger from God that'll teach you what you must do in order to live right. That's the prime messenger. But before there ever was this prime messenger, before this book was ever written, there were those individuals who were sent. And they were sent by God with spiritual gifts. And they got up and they spoke an inspired message given from God. They didn't have a Bible. Well, do we do that today? It's not preaching unless we present this same inspired message. And that's what preaching is all about. Not for some individual to get up and talk about, well, I've considered about this and I think this might be a good thing to do. There's no difference in the message that would be preached in this place at this time from that message that was preached in the first century world, where there were inspired preachers before there ever was a Bible. Preaching today is simply taking the inspired Bible and calling on individuals to believe in it. We need to understand that hearing is different from believing, but we ought to thank God. We ought to thank God that we've heard the truth of God. God is trying to draw you to His Son. How's He doing it? He's taken this holy treasure, this heavenly message, and put it in the hearts and the minds of earthen vessels. That's us, that's people. And we open our mouths and say not our words, but we say the very words of God. This treasure in vessels of clay is the very way that God from heaven is trying to draw you to Him. Don't ever be led astray by saying, well, sometimes you'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden it'll just hit you. There'll be just like lightning hit you from heaven. That message is not in the Bible. God doesn't do it that way. And you and I need to understand that. Even Saul, who was struck, who saw the Lord Jesus for a special reason on the road to Damascus, whenever he said, "What must I do to be saved? Lord, what must I do to be saved?" The Lord says, "You go into the city, and there will be a preacher who will come and tell you what you must do." You know why the Lord didn't tell Saul on the road to Damascus, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved"? Jesus knew that was what was right, but Jesus' plan was that for men to be drawn by God, to be taught by God from messengers that come and speak the very words of God. Is God trying to draw you to Himself today? You and I need to have an appreciation of this very thing. Let me ask you this. As we talk about this great invitation and how it involves you, you need to understand that God, because He treats all men exactly the same, is trying to draw every creature on this earth to Himself. He's trying to teach. And it's by that teaching and learning that God is drawing people to Himself. And He does that to every creature. But forget every other creature. God is trying to draw you to Himself. You see, God is teaching you. That's what Bible study is all about. That's why in our Bible classes and in conversations that we have, in counseling and advice that we give, in the preaching of the Word, in this pulpit and in classroom, that's why we get inside this book and say, this is what God says. The God of heaven is trying to teach us what's right. And by that teaching, He's trying to cause us to come to Jesus so that He can embrace us with those nail-pierced hands. Finally, God, in relationship to this invitation, He's trying to draw you today. We started this lesson by saying, who knows that perhaps. And there's no promise of tomorrow. This may be the last sermon I ever preach. This may be the last sermon you ever hear. And if such were the case, if Jesus were to return, or if our hearts were to stop beating, this may be the very last sermon that you ever hear. God is trying to draw you to Him. What must I do? Saul asked that question on the road to Damascus. He was not a believer in Jesus. He thought Jesus was an enemy. But when he saw the Lord, he recognized Jesus as Lord. He said, "Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. Lord, what do you want to have me to do? What do you want me to do?" He's a believer in Jesus. And the reason he's a believer in Jesus is because of the fact that John 3:16 says you cannot go to heaven if you believe in Jesus. But you got to change your life. And so Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Saul, who saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, changed his life. He went to the city and he was praying. Are there changes you need to make in your life? Are there things you need to give up, stop doing? Are there things that you ought to do that you're doing that you ought to do more of? That's what repentance. Repentance is that decision. And so he's 3 days inside that city, praying, trying to find out what he's changed his life. But Paul says, this Jesus, Paul says about him, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God is trying to talk to you right now. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Have you ever confessed that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? When? That ought to cause each one of us to soberly recognize that before we're baptized, as in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, the man was asked, Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? What do you believe about Jesus? He said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And then the amazing thing is, that preacher, that messenger that came from heaven, said to the chief of sinners, the one who'd been killing Christians, the arch enemy of Jesus, who had believed, who had repented, who had already verbalized the lordship of Jesus, even out on that road, the preacher came, the messenger came and says, what are you waiting on? That's a message from heaven. What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Listen, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the message from heaven. That's being taught by God, from God. Oh, we ought to always pray. But that prayer that is talking about whoever calls on the name of the Lord is not talking about our daily prayer. It's talking about what happens when one walks into this water that we have back here. It's warm. There's clothing here. You could this very day, because you've been taught by God and you are convicted by God. This is what God wants me to do, not because family wants me to do it, not because somebody else wants me to do it. Convicted that this is what God wants me to do. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm a sinner. Wash me in His blood. I want to be saved from my sins. And when you do that, the most amazing thing happened. The Bible talks about your name being written down in heaven in a book of life. And on the final day, your name will still be in that book if you've been faithful unto God. He'll add you to the church that's in this Bible. And He'll come back someday and take you back to heaven with Him. God is trying to draw you to Him. Will you respond to the invitation right now as God tries to draw you? Will you feel the God trying to cause you, having been taught and understanding and believing? Will you not come and this day call upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved? Will you come right now as together we stand and sing?